Hello and welcome to this episode of the Resilient Farmer podcast. Farming is one of the oldest jobs in the world, and despite its evolution over thousands of years, there is no question that it remains one of the most important. Farming in England is changing again because of Brexit, climate change, and other global challenges. This podcast explores how to prepare for the future of farming and how to become resilient to changes in your finances, the environment, and your personal life. Over the past year and a half, I've spoken to different farmers, advisors, and other experts and asked them for their top tips for being a resilient farmer. In this episode, you can listen to a range of top tips about planning for the future, mental health, diversifying your business, and more.
There's the strategic in terms of making wills and putting powers of attorney in place while you are still fit and able to do so. A will can always be changed, but have something, a will is better than no will. And then on the practical side of things, it's actually being receptive to the changes that are taking place in the industry, working them into your business and helping your next generation to work with you to do that, and seek some help if you need it. Passwords are no good if they're in somebody's head and something goes wrong. The business mechanics, everyone in the business that is involved in the business should understand the business and the implications for decisions they're making, whether it's in terms of income to the business, cost to the business, and where that finishes up in the accounts. Without a doubt, that's an important area to do. You do not want to be in a position where you're suddenly left with a business to run in 40s or even 50s. We've had examples of. It's not fair on the younger generation.
We certainly get calls to FCN where perhaps the prime worker on the farm is no longer able to do so. They've been taken unwell or sadly died. And suddenly those who are left around them need to do the day job. There's animals to feed, cows to be milked, perhaps paperwork to be kept up together, bills to be paid, all of those things. So it's thinking ahead around if somebody was to be taken unwell and couldn't show up to work for a week, would the business still be able to continue? And having a simple plan in place, it might just be a folder in the farm office that's got some of this key information that everybody knows where they can access it to make sure that that continued.
So for arable farmers growing combinable crops, I think I would look at their drying and storage capacity and seeing if there's ways that can be improved, maybe not at significant cost, but to just give more storage with ventilation or greater drying capacity. Obviously, when people come to replace combines, it's looking at what capacity of combine is purchased. I always think when you're looking at combine capacity, you have to consider drying costs. So actually, it might be a sensible option to go for a slightly higher output combine so you can cut a greater tonnage when it's dry rather than having to cut on every day just to get it done. Of course, that requires a certain degree of self-control not to cut at the first opportunity it's wet, because with a bigger combine, you'll get a bigger heap of wet grain to dry. I think drilling capacity is another thing that farmers are looking at, which I've already mentioned. And probably the most important thing we can look at is just continue to improve our soils. And with the extremes of weather we're facing, drainage is increasingly important. And it all starts from where the water goes to from the field. So whether that's the drainage ditch or a main drain that's maintained by an internal drainage board, it's maintaining the drainage system that is in fields. It's looking at repairing problems with drainage systems and then managing the soil so that actually the water can move through the soil to the drainage system. It's a case of being patient in terms of soil cultivation. Think carefully about what you're trying to achieve with cultivations for following crops. There's, you know, already a bit of a backlog of work building up and people will be keen to get on and make progress. But I think when soils are particularly wet, we know that cultivations can actually be more damaging than beneficial. So get out with a spade, have a look and see what's happening. If you're putting a cultivator into a field, go and have a look immediately behind it to see what it's doing. What's happening underneath the cultivation depth? Are we smearing the soil? Are we impeding, root development through the autumn and spring? Just be patient. Don't panic. And I'm sure at some stage there'll be a weather window that allows most things to be done.
First of all, I would get out there and look at other businesses first, because quite a few people think it's easy. You know, they see a farm, they see the money coming in, they don't realize how much money's going out. I do some serious financial stuff first and check what other companies are doing to make sure you have a full understanding. And bodies like the Farm Retail Association will be able to help with that. I'd go to one of their conferences. If you're looking at farm shops and cafes, I would definitely, before you even put your planning in, I would go to what the Farm Retail Association annual conference, because they're great people there and they will tell you exactly how it is, warts and all. And if you were looking at doing a farm diversification outside, more like the pumpkins, the corn maize, the open farm type style, I'd go to the NAFAN one, which is the British one as well. And then there is an American one, which is NAFTMA, but I'd start with the British ones first. So I'd definitely go to the conferences. I'd visit other businesses and ask them. And then I'd really look at yourself, the people you've got, as in you and your family maybe, or it could be your children, or it could be your parents or whatever, if it's on a family farm situation, and ask yourself, reflect in the mirror, do I really enjoy this style of work and this industry? Do I enjoy serving people? Do I enjoy talking to people? Because you're dealing with customers, you're dealing with serving customers all day, every day. I've got two boys that looking at working in the industry eventually. One of them just says, it'd be great if it wasn't for customers. Oh my God. I'm like, well, maybe this industry is really not for you. Maybe you'd be better working within agriculture, but maybe business to business agriculture, you know. So you have to really look at that, because it is very difficult to deal with customers all day, every day, if you don't enjoy it. I happen to really enjoy it. I think it makes our life and our offering a lot richer for it. But if you just want to do it for the money, maybe even look at renting the buildings out and you just become the landlord, you know. So I'd have a moment of reflection of yourself, honestly. And then I'd also look at the conferences first before you jump in.
I think the first thing is that you are the farm's biggest asset. It's all about you. And that's not being selfish and that's not being self-centered. It's being self-aware. It's aware that the farm is dependent on you. Your family's dependent on you. Looking after your safety every day is the best decision that you can make. Second one is learn from past mistakes. Learn from other people's past mistakes and build on that yourself. And that's resilience. Don't be afraid to ask people. Obviously, we have the support systems in place, and that's obviously the Farm Resilience Programme as well. It's part of that is actually there are people out there that you can have one-to-ones with. You can get that really important information from. If you don't understand the health and safety executive information around it, ask somebody to translate that into plain English. Look at our website. We've got advice when you're doing different types of jobs. But that information is there. Don't be afraid to ask for it, because people do want to help. People are nicer than maybe you assume they are. And they do want to help, because without farmers, there is no food. So you're the most important people in the economy.
I think the first thing I would say is learn about it. Learn about mental health. Don't think that you know everything about it, because I don't. I'm learning. I'm continuously learning about it. The different types of poor mental health and what they are, so that we don't misuse words. We don't continue to refer to things in the wrong way or almost minimalize people's pain. The second thing I would say is actually to give your time, give your effort, do something for somebody else, because that will make you feel better. And the third thing is stay active. Do something, do some exercise, even if it's just walking, even if it's cycling, whatever. Try and get 150 minutes of exercise every single week. It's good for your physical well-being. It's great for your mental well-being. And actually, they are connected.
If you would like support with anything you heard about in this podcast, visit us at ffrf.ricardo.com. to sign up for one-to-one support. This podcast is produced by Ricardo, edited by Woods Noble Video, and funded by DEFRA. Thank you for listening.